A Rayo Original Podcast.
Natalie Cassidy.
Nicholas made you nervous. What's going through your mind?
Just what is it going to be? Am I going to be 85?
What will you do if you are?
Well, if I'm 85?
Not a lot of podcasts ask for your blood.
I did at first think, wow, I can't believe that someone's squeezing drops of blood out my finger for a podcast.
Your result is... Hello, and welcome to another episode of What's My Age Again? I'm Catherine Ryan, and joining me today is the actress, podcaster, and all-round national treasure, Natalie Cassidy. She's best known for playing Sonia in EastEnders on and off for more than 30 years, but she's been in Motherland and Mandy, as well as taken to the stage in The Vagina Monologues and the Chekhov play, The Cherry Orchard. If acting and podcasting wasn't enough, she's just published her first book, the autobiography Happy Days. But it's not about what's written on her Wikipedia page that's important on this show. It's all about what is in her blood. Natalie has very kindly given up a sample of her blood so we can find out her biological age with our scientist, Dr. Nicola Conlon, and find out how all that hard work has played out in her body. Natalie Cassidy, welcome to What's My Age Again.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely, your studio.
Well, I decorated it myself.
It's very nice.
You look sensational.
Thank you.
And I'm confused about how to dress, as you can see. I have like two settings. I have mega glam.
Yeah.
And then I have tracksuit. And you have managed to pull off like the perfect sexy mom day to night. This could be dinner drinks. You could do a podcast. You could go out in the evening to a London Fashion Week show. How have you done that?
I saw the exact outfit on a mannequin in Marks and Spencer's.
Okay.
That is how I did it. Oh. I really like how all of that looks, and I'm going to buy it now.
Are you the kind of person who would strip the mannequin if they didn't have your size on the rack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just taking the mannequin apart, and no one would stop you.
I would imagine they wouldn't stop me.
No.
Because I probably look like I work in there. Because I'm in there all the time.
You just do it in a down-to-earth way. Can you go into your local shop? Has that ever been a thing for you, or do you just take it in your stride that you get stopped every day?
I take it in my stride. I think because I was 10 when I started doing all of this stuff, I don't really remember not being recognised.
Okay.
So it just happens, and I'm just... It's part of the job, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is part of the job. And I think if I really can't understand a lot of people when they're moody about it.
Mm.
And I just think, well, why are you doing what you're doing then if you don't like this bit of it?
I think now you have a voice in so many different avenues and podcasts and with your new book, Happy Days. And people know you for you. But I think it would be difficult for me as a character to get recognized, especially one of those shows at the height when not everyone was on TV.
Mm.
And a lot of the general public are crazy and they're unable to separate you from that character.
I still get Sonia all the time.
Like that, I
all
think
the time.
You would have a right to be annoyed about that.
Yeah, but you're in people's living rooms four times a week. They've grown up with you. So they do feel like they know that character, you know.
I like that you've just absorbed that childhood trauma.
Yeah.
You're like, it's fine that they think I'm Sonia.
Yeah. I'm happy with it. I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind.
And I think it is a lot to be on a show like that again from such a young age. It's not as though you're a 10-year-old girl now in an advert or you've got a bit of a TikTok following. Like you're one of the most famous people in the whole country and only 10.
Yeah. When you put it like that, it is strange, isn't it?
Because now you're a mom and you have little girls and they're both girls.
Yeah. And Joni's just turned 9.
Yeah.
So I do look at her and think, oh my goodness. So in a year's time, that's when I started working.
Would Joni have what it takes to be one of the most famous people in Britain?
She wants to be like Claudia Winkleman. She wants to be a presenter.
Oh.
Whether that will happen, who knows?
If she's half as talented as you are, she's got the inroads. Her mum can put her forward.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll see how it goes.
And your older daughter are not interested?
Both creative, yeah. Oh. She also, but she kind of talks about possibly acting. She's got a lovely voice.
Nice.
She likes all of it, really. But I say to her, you're smart, and she's very bossy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'd be good behind the camera, producing or something like that.
Yeah. It's good to be, an all-well-rounded creator now. They do everything.
Yeah.
I love that our children, because my daughter really likes Claudia Winkleman too. Mm. I feel very encouraged that Claudia is how old? 50?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, skin of an angel, but our children really know who Claudia Winkleman is.
Yeah, I think it's important.
They'll be like, I love Taylor Swift and Claudia Winkleman.
Yeah.
But where did that come from? Is it Traitors?
It's got to be Traitors, yeah.
Obsessed by Claudia
Winkleman. Strictly.
Oh, of course.
A little bit of Strictly as well, I think, because they've, you know, been brought up on Saturday Night Strictly.
That's how she's crept into the youth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your plan for aging then? Because you and I are the same age. You're 42.
Yeah.
You look great. You seem very healthy, very active.
I don't know if I'm overly healthy, really.
Well, we'll find out. But do you hope to continue to work, to be as relevant as Claudia Winkleman to our daughters? Or do you have a retirement plan?
No retirement plan.
No.
I think it makes you older.
Okay.
I don't think it's a good thing. I just think carry on working. I love what I do.
I know.
We're so lucky to do stuff that we really like.
And what you do evolves all the time.
Yes.
So you started as an actress and now you're doing all kinds of different things. Is it true you have 100 cookbooks?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I'm a little bit obsessed with them because I just think they're lovely to look at. So I get into bed and I read them.
You read them?
Yeah, my sort of food porn.
You're not just reading them. Oh, you own 100 cookbooks?
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you think?
I understood that you had produced and published 100 cookbooks.
No.
That makes a lot more sense.
No.
You hoard cookbooks.
Natalie Cassidy, not Jamie Oliver. Let's get it straight now.
But wait a minute. Okay, this geriatric pregnancy has turned me into a full idiot. Okay, and I think the confusion came from, so I was like, what does Natalie ever mention the hundreds of cookbooks that she's written? Okay, so Happy Days is the first book?
Ever, yes, first book ever.
You have not, during all this time that you've been doing all these other projects, slid in 100 cookbooks.
I've not done it, no.
But you love to cook and you won Cooking with the Stars.
I did, and it was amazing. I love cooking. I love it. I really love it.
And just from what age? Were you naturally good at it or naturally interested?
I think I was always naturally interested, again, from television, from all the cooking shows and stuff like that. I loved watching those. And then, it just grew, really. My passion grew and I cook whenever I can.
Aww. Are you really domestic at home, even though you work so much? Are you cooking for the girls and your husband, your fiance?
I do try, but Mark does laugh because he'll text and say, oh, you've won the cooking show and now you're on this morning doing cooking. What are we eating tonight? And I'll be like, oh, I don't know. I can't be bothered.
It's very difficult to do it all, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't do everything.
And you're zipping around and you're coming from work.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm very lucky as well because I do feel like now I'm not at EastEnders. It's a little bit more free because I can schedule things and plan a little bit better. So I like to see that diary and effort. I'll see that there's a light at the end of the busy tunnel and go, oh, actually, I've got 4 days there and I'll be at home then. Yeah. I like that.
You have a lot more control.
Yeah.
Not only are you an authentic voice, you discuss what you want to discuss on your podcast, presumably.
Yes, yeah.
And when you're presenting and when you're doing all these fun jobs, you're a lot more yourself.
I really like being myself.
Did you feel a little bit beholden to the schedule or the script or being someone else? Was that weird for you as a young woman growing up?
The being someone else never affected me, never bothered me because you're an actress, you're playing a character, you get into that role. So that for me was fine. It's the relentlessness of each week and only finding out very later on in the week. So you'd find out on a Thursday evening what you were doing the following week. Sometimes could creep into a Friday morning.
Oh.
And you'd have a rough idea through the script. And if you were really busy, you could see, if you were going to have a heavy week. But just not knowing each week. I've only realised it since leaving, how mad it is that you can't plan anything. You can't book a concert ticket. You can't book a theatre show. You can't. Unless you've got a holiday that's booked, which is usually like a year in advance, you can't just go, 7 p.m. in 3 months' time, I'm going to book that. Because you never know if you're going to be at work.
And when did that become an issue with friendships? Like as a teenager or before that?
People just understand, don't they? And if they don't, you know, if they don't understand, then you're not your friends. I've got a very small collection of friends, you know.
Yeah, but you might not understand that as a 14-year-old. It would take a very disciplined mindset for you at 14 not to be like, well, why can't I go to the birthday party? That boy that I like will be there and he's going to get with Sandra.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I would have a huge issue with that at 14.
I think because I loved it so much.
Really?
It never really entered my head. There wasn't really anywhere else I wanted to be.
You wanted to be on the set of EastEnders.
That was my happy place.
Wow.
Maybe always. Because when I wasn't there, school was difficult. People were jealous.
Mm.
You know, there was bullying that went on. So I always just wanted to be there because it was so fun and surrounded by nice people.
That's really good to hear, especially of a childhood actor, because you don't always...
I've never heard anyone not like EastEnders. It's a good place to work. It's a nice family vibe.
Good.
Everyone's really nice.
Okay. And so the family just worked around you and you'd plan your holidays a year in advance.
Yeah.
And there were no like surprise...
No surprises.
Concerts or birthday parties.
Nope.
For how many years?
On and off for 30 years.
It's outstanding that you managed to have a life within that time.
It's crazy. Everything's always a surprise if you can make something.
Yeah.
So you turn it on its head. You just say, I'm never going to be anywhere. And then if you do turn up, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you plan your wedding?
No wedding plan yet. That's why. That's why I'm still engaged.
Because you're still in the mindset.
I just can't. We're both freelance now. So you go, oh, that would be really good. October would be really good. October would have been really good this year because Mark turns 40.
Oh.
And he proposed to me on his 30th birthday. And I said, that would have been so nice to round it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, but no, haven't done it. Too busy.
Do your children talk about your wedding? Do they think it's different that you're not married? They don't mind?
No, never mention it.
I don't think I would have gotten married if I didn't need to keep my husband in the country.
Fair.
I did it for like immigration reasons.
Fair.
But it's nice to be like dating someone.
I like dating, but I would also love to say my husband.
Do you ever use that language anyway?
No.
Oh.
Could though, couldn't I?
Of course you can.
Yeah.
You're Natalie Cassidy. You can do anything you want. You're sort of being my husband. Legitimize yourself. But it's not, it's kind of a loaded term now. I don't think husband has the cachet that it once had.
No.
Because
what do you say?
I do say husband.
Yeah.
But also like creepily, I call him daddy all the time.
Oh, fine.
Do you do that?
No.
You use his legal name.
Mark.
No. I'm like, daddy wants to do this, daddy, because we're always around.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I've just thought you were saying that without the children around all the time.
I do, and not even in a sexual way. Like,
no,
if the children are in bed, I'll be like, dad. I call him dad.
Okay.
So maybe keep it loose.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to follow that.
All right. Are you worried? Because not a lot of podcasts ask for your blood.
I did at first think, wow, I can't believe that. Someone's squeezing drops of blood out my finger for a podcast. It was very disconcerting. But obviously, I know why, and I'm looking forward to it. I feel in the last, genuinely, 6 months, my body, something is changing.
6 months?
I reckon like the last 6 months, I feel older. And I feel that perimenopause definitely cracking in.
Do you?
I think so, yeah.
What symptoms?
Just tired, a little bit anxious sometimes, fatigue, a bit achy. I'm like, what is going on here?
That's what they say. Do you have any pain in your shoulder?
No. No shoulder pain yet.
Do you feel rage?
Yeah.
Rage?
Yeah, quite a lot of rage.
From Natalie Cassidy.
Yeah, some rage at home.
Feeling no rage off you.
I'm not raged today. I'm all good today.
You did say in your little questionnaire that you feel... like a medium level of stress.
Yeah.
Moderate. I think you said.
Yeah.
So where exactly is that coming from?
It's just a lot of stress. As a mother and a working mother, it's just always 1,000 things to do.
And I suppose coming off a show like EastEnders, you no longer have a runner.
True, but our lovely runners wouldn't do too much for us. Too many of us.
Oh, I see.
Just a tea or whatever.
Because I do feel that it's odd when you're on a job, an acting job, which I very rarely am.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God. Because I'm not, it's not me. But it is weird that people want to accompany you to the toilet.
They tell you when to get in a car.
Yes.
They take you to a location. They bring you food. They almost don't trust you to exist.
That's correct, yeah.
They put your clothes on for you. They tell you what words to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like a lot of child, again, actors especially, would come out of that experience not knowing how to adult.
Yeah.
But you've transitioned very well.
Thank you. But EastEnders, again, we drive ourselves.
What?
We get our own lunch. It's not that sort of place.
Did any of you have agents? Did you know it's a huge show? Yeah. I love that they just keep it real down to earth.
Real down to earth, yeah.
What are the most down to earth things about you? EastEnders, being an M&S every day.
Yeah.
Doing the cooking at home, managing a family.
Yeah. I have got a cleaner now though.
Good.
I do have a cleaner and I'm a bit addicted to it. I keep giving her more hours. So I'm like, I just want to hit all the time.
Yes, yes.
I'm enjoying that.
She's slowly moving in.
Yeah.
I think a housekeeper is what you deserve.
Wouldn't it be lovely, a housekeeper?
I think it would be lovely in a way, but it would also, if you have working class guilt, which I have.
Yeah.
The idea of like actual staff.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Weird.
It's just that washing machine continuously being on. I'm continuously washing clothes.
It would be very good.
Yeah.
All right. You've got this hit podcast. It is incredible. Do you feel, well, both of them that I listen to, do you feel like it's a soothing practice to be talking about everyday life and anecdotes and having your family on? Do you think that talking helps you to be so relaxed?
I love my podcast. Mm-hmm. When I started Life with Nat, I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to some people that no doubt you know, like text Josh Widdicombe and, you know, spoke to Tom Allen and I just said, do you think it'd be all right? Loads of people are doing them. And they said, just do it. Just go for it. Just have a go. It doesn't matter who listens. And I've built a really lovely community of people. But again, I've sort of, Catherine, I've given myself extra work.
Yeah.
Because I have a WhatsApp group.
Oh, no.
So I have a WhatsApp number. Sorry. And the WhatsApp number, any of my listeners can WhatsApp me.
Oh, yeah.
So if you look at my phone now at any time on the business WhatsApp, there's just hundreds of messages to get through. And I try and get back to people, just a little heart or a thumbs up, or I talk to them, or if it, you know, I say, thank you, that's a really good topic. And that's quite a lot of work.
What kind of things do they message you?
They talk to me. Well, we did a thing on bra washing. Mm. Like, being honest, how much do you wash a bra?
Not enough.
Come on now. So I was like very honest and said, it's probably like once a month. Obviously, if you go to the gym or get hot, you have a sports bra.
I don't do those things, yeah.
But then, you know, people will just say, you're right, 3 weeks for me. And they just like getting involved.
That's a lovely way to connect with people.
Yeah, it's good.
And I think you build a really loyal audience that way. That's what's really nice and like warm about Life with Nat, because they know that they can reach out to you. And I think the same is true with comedy. Comedy is a conversation to me. So you can't just be doing it from Live at the Apollo at people, just on panel shows at people. I think you got to go to the towns.
Yes.
In the cities and like really get in there. And you've got a festive tour coming up where
Yeah, I've got a few little work in progress.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to be like because my family, they sit in the pod room and they chat.
Yeah.
But they're not performers.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be very interesting getting them up on stage. Are they going to be nervous?
Yeah.
You know, but I think they're going to be brilliant. So there's a few of those.
That's really exciting.
And then Clapham Grand on the 7th of December.
I know. A big family Christmas show.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
And
songs and fun.
Taking questions from the audience.
Loads and loads of audience participation, yeah. But I can set it all up on the WhatsApp beforehand, you see.
That's
true. And I can get all my bits and pieces in and work it all out. So it'll be good.
It'd also be a very clever way to cheat. I think there's many a footballer who's got a burner phone. It's like, no, it's just so I can connect with the fans.
Yeah.
And they tell me how often they wash their bra. Mine has like flakes in it sometimes, like tiny. Yeah, I gotta wash it. Not like big, just
a few flakes.
A bit like dandruff, but in a bra.
All right.
Don't know what that's about. It says here in my very detailed research notes that you're fond of offal.
I am fond of offal, yeah.
That's very down to earth.
It is very down to earth, isn't it?
How did that start?
I don't know. Because my mum used to cook it. She used to do stuffed tarts and...
Do you understand that you're a celebrity? You're in the M&S. You've got random people texting you about their filthy underwear. You're eating awful.
Yeah.
You just got a cleaner.
I know.
Do you ever see like a Mariah Carey future for yourself? If it goes up and up and up, do you think you could ever become a diva?
I couldn't be a diva if you paid me to be one.
Never.
I just haven't got the time for it. I really don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like seeing people ask for things or be rude to people.
Well, yeah.
Because you do see it. Come on now. Don't we?
Who have you seen be the rudest? Give me the scenario without naming the name.
I have seen somebody sort of say to an AD, like a runner, what is there for lunch? What is there for lunch? And then sort of say, oh, don't read it to me. Show me it. Show me it. Go and get it all. And then you can taste it and tell me what it's like.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was blown away. My mind was blown.
That would never happen on EastEnders.
Blown. Never.
Well, you look after yourself really well as well. I mean, like, what's your attitude toward body image now? Because I loved it when I read that you had done these workout DVDs, yeah, which were all the rage at a time. Yeah. There would be these celebrity DVDs, mm-hmm, that were not body positive, but that was a different, I call it the girl band generation.
Yeah.
And you said that if you had any regrets, it would be doing the workout DVD.
100%. I think it really, still to this day, has an effect on me.
Really?
Because before doing the DVD, I never ever, genuinely, I never thought about weight.
Mm.
I may say that, but I was happy. I might do the odd diet or lose a few pounds, but I was just happy. I've always loved food and I was just really happy. I dressed how I wanted to dress. I mean, some of the pictures of me, if you Google me, genuinely, I look ridiculous, but I look very happy. Cargos, like a little bit of belly out. I was very, very happy.
That's how we dressed.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was on the bigger side is what I mean. I never covered up. I was very happy, very confident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that and I did it for the money. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Get fit and get 100 grand. Yeah, go on then.
Nice. So how did they set that up? Someone presumably came to you from a diet company and they said, we want to do this DVD and you'll get all this money because we are an evil enterprise that preys upon women's greatest insecurities.
Yeah.
And you said, great. Like a lot of people would say, great. And this is why you've got the Kardashians doing those like diarrhea shakes and stuff on their Instagram, because you're offered a lot of money and you think, well, that's fine. I'll give that a go. You don't really think about the impact that it has. And then what do they do? Do they like fatten a celebrity up and do a staged photo shoot on the beach?
No, I had, they didn't have to fatten me up, Catherine, no.
And how do they get you down? How much? You said 4 stone.
4 stone.
In 3 months?
Yeah.
What do they do?
Purely, I have to give them credit where credit's due. Purely, you are not allowed to do any other exercise than the routine.
Okay.
The DVD, like they make you do it just like for ages, every day,
what?
A couple of times a day. And then you're eating really, really small plates of food. Do you know what I mean? Like tiny.
Do you go to a studio to do the DVD or are they just, you do it in your home?
I was doing it in my home, yeah.
But they set you a goal.
Yeah.
And so then you were just self-disciplined. You just kept doing the DVD on repeat, like the substance. In your front room with just weights on your ankles.
Genuinely, it was very, it becomes obsessive as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you had to do that.
Oh, that's my problem. I suggest to it.
And then do you only get paid if you hit the certain target?
No, and then you know what happened? I was so pissed off because it sold. They said, there's two deals. We can do this one and just give you the money, or you can get less than that. But if it sells well, you can have like a pound each DVD. And I went for that one and it sold 250,000 copies.
Oh, no.
So annoying.
So you did it well.
Yeah.
You're good at following instructions.
Yeah.
Toxic though it may be. So what was the cash difference? You would have got like...
lots more.
I'm sorry.
I know. So annoying, isn't it?
You know, we could do it again.
I'm all right for that.
I'll do it with you after the baby. The market is wide open.
You go for it.
No one's doing it anymore.
I'll encourage you. I think a lot of people would buy yours.
I feel like, it's Catherine Ryan. I don't have a DVD player. How is she doing the DVD? Just, you know, projecting it. Well, I'm sorry that you went through that. I laugh about it now, but it's really good that you've come out the other end and you're...
Yeah, it's fine. It's
using it as a teachable moment.
Yeah. And but I've never, ever, ever... not since doing that, got on the scales, looked at my weight.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know what it's like then.
It's sort of like when you have those parents who catch their child smoking a cigarette and they sit down and they go, you're going to smoke 20 packs of these right now.
Yeah.
And then you never want to smoke again. Yeah. You were like, I've done the deal with the devil.
Yeah.
It messed me up. And now you've just come out the other side with a really healthy body image.
Yeah.
But you're active.
I'm active. I don't sit down at home. I have never, I don't think, ever sat on the sofa during the day. Apart from if I have a nap, because I do like napping.
Good.
I do a lot of napping.
That bodes very well for the biological age.
Really?
Yeah, we want you rested and recovered.
Okay.
How much are you sleeping then?
If I've got the time, I'll have a nap for just half an hour or whatever. But oh. I'm a very good napper. I can go to sleep. I could lay here now, even with everyone here.
Yeah.
And have a nap.
So then are you tired? Does that mean you're not sleeping enough at night?
I sleep really well at night.
How many hours at night?
I would say between 6 and 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Cassidy on, Cassidy off.
Yeah.
Back on. 30 minutes is all you need.
Yeah.
And you're releasing another cookbook. Yeah. I'll never get over that. So you've obviously got more confident as you've gotten older.
Yes, I think so.
You'd say you have a good relationship with aging.
Yeah, I do. I think we're very lucky.
So your 40th birthday was not a moment for you? Because I know some women struggle with that number.
It wasn't a struggle.
No.
I had a lovely party in our local pub. And I think I got braver when I turned 40. I know it's all a bit of a cliche, but I made a lot of changes at 40. It's when I started thinking about, you know, doing more stuff. Can't just sit here at EastEnders on Albert Square until I'm 80. I mean, I could.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But actually, I thought, I want to get out and do some other stuff.
What was your relationship with Barbara Windsor like?
Oh, she was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Speaking of like just being 80, how nice is it to have someone like that that you look up to and that you love and that you ran a marathon for?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yes, her memory. She shows us that like aging is
incredible.
You just become more valuable.
Absolutely right. And I do think we value ourselves more as we get older. You do start to think, gosh, I'm lucky. I do anyway, lucky to be here. I've seen a lot of kind of not bringing it down, but my daughter's best friend has had a cancer, quite an aggressive cancer, when she was 5, 6. You just think, my goodness, you know, it's really, we're really lucky to make it this far. I just think we should just enjoy every day.
And you lost your mom when you were really young as well?
I did, yeah. I was 19. That's I lost my mom.
No age to lose your mom.
Nah, it's crap.
And what was her life like before you lost her? Was she?
She was very domestic. Like she was just, very much at home. She was a housewife, looked after the house, cooked, looked after my dad.
Did you have a similar attitude?
Yeah, I can't even. Really, at that age, when I look back, I really try and think about her personality and if we were alike. And I can't really remember, if I'm honest with you.
Do you know, my husband says the same thing.
Yeah.
So he lost his dad when he was 10. Mm-hmm. And he not only forgets about his dad, because I think your mind's most important job is to protect you. Uh-huh. And sometimes it will just lock something away in a box if it's too painful. But my husband doesn't even remember his childhood at all. Like,
wow.
It's all gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting because my memory's not great going back to those days. I've got little snippets of memories, but it was quite difficult doing the book, trying to think of stuff. So I don't really have anything to say, you know? I kept thinking to myself, hope I've put enough in about my mum because I just thought, I don't want people to think that, you know, I didn't love her at all. But no. I didn't have bundles and bundles of memories.
Of course you did. But Prince Harry says the same about Diana. Mm-hmm. When he talks about mental health, he goes, there's just a piece that my mind has decided we're going to put this in a box and then carry on.
That's really interesting.
Are you someone who gets therapy regularly? Is it?
No, I have had therapy in the past a little bit. Especially when my dad, because when my dad passed, I think it brought up everything for my mum, which is pretty standard, isn't it? That happens a lot. So I had a little bit then. But no, I don't really. We've got a really lovely, loving family. And I feel like we've got a very close-knit sort of relationships within. All the people I've got are very strong and kind. And I do a lot of talking. I'm quite open.
That's true. And I suppose you get therapy for free from the WhatsApp and talking things out.
There you go.
It's just unlicensed therapy, maybe the same. Do you think that becoming a mom has made you feel younger? Or do you think that it's aged you, or maybe a combo?
I think a combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the lack of sleep when they're first born is ridiculous. Sorry.
I know.
But you know what you're going into. I don't need to tell you. And I think I feel younger now. As Eliza's growing up, she'll be 15 soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel now there's this connection of talking about clothes, talking about makeup. Booked to go and see Olivia Dean for next year because we both like her. So that keeps me very youthful, I think, you know.
Yeah. And that, I think you would have been a young mom to have her at like 25.
27.
27?
Yeah.
I was 25.
Yeah.
I always think we had our daughters kind of the same age.
Yeah, that's so funny.
27 feels like not too young, but I think in the grand scheme of things, you might have friends now who are having their first babies.
100%.
And,
you're so right. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you
It's very brave, that decision, isn't it?
Brave.
Yeah, you're brave. I don't think I could go back there.
You don't want to be called brave.
Why?
That's how they described my bikini pics on my last holiday. Catherine Ryan bravely swims in public.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I've entered a brave zone.
The brave era.
I know. It is medically brave to be a geriatric mom.
It's amazing. You're not a geriatric mom, though, are you? My mom was 44 when she had me.
Was she?
She was. My dad was 46.
And that would have been very rare.
Mm-hmm.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Two brothers.
Older brothers?
Yeah, 60 and 57.
Pardon me?
David's 60 and Tony's 57.
What?
Yeah. And we're like that. So don't worry about gaps or any of that.
Good.
Yeah, brilliant.
So you were a surprise?
No, absolutely not.
What happened with
you then? The boys grew up. They were 15 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum said, I'm really sad. And I would love to try for a baby. And fell with me straight away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And you were the miracle.
Mm.
The girl.
Yeah, I was
everybody
the girl.
Needs a daughter.
Yeah.
And presumably the most famous.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless your brother's...
Although my brother is called David Cassidy. He isn't the David Cassidy.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Okay. That is so lovely. So have you thought of doing the same thing your mom's done?
No, that's what I mean. No.
You might.
No.
You know what? Your mom at 42... might have been like...
I know, this is what everyone says to me. Everyone's like, you're a carbon copy of your mum. You will absolutely smash a baby out when you're 44.
Because you don't sit down. You cut out the nap. You cut out that 30 minutes. You could be getting on it with your casual fiancé. And you could be having a geriatric baby like me.
I don't know if I've got lots of great nieces and nephews because of all this mad age stuff in our family.
Yeah.
So my nieces are like my sisters. They're in their 30s. One of them's nearly 40. There's only 3 years between us, you see.
Oh, yeah.
So now they've all got kids. So I've got babies and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds. And, you know, I've got babies around me.
Fine.
I don't think I want one that I can't give back.
Sure. So the babies around you ward off any potential.
Mark and I got together when Eliza was small.
Yeah.
So also we're looking forward to our time as well on our own. When the kids have grown up, we can have that dating time that we never had.
Yeah, I never factored that in with my life.
No.
Seems like you've got it all mapped out. I think your biological age is going to be low.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're cool, calm, collected. Your mother was very fertile into her mid-40s.
Yes.
You've invented this perimenopause story.
I have invented it. You are right. I do feel, I just feel like I'm changing a little bit now.
You eat fresh homegrown produce
a lot,
from the garden.
I do, yeah.
Mark has a vegetable garden.
We both do.
In the countryside?
Yeah.
Well, in my notes, it's accredited to Mark only.
Fair enough.
You're inside.
Chilies, anyway. Tomatoes, peppers, courgettes this year.
Are you like self-sustainable in the countryside?
No, not at all. But it is one of my favourite things, being able to walk outside and pick courgettes. It is my favourite.
How much work is that, though?
It's quite a lot of work. Courgettes are mad, though.
How so?
Mad bastards.
You mean they grow like twisty and twiny at home?
Yeah, but they just keep producing. It's like, whoa, I did 3 courgette plants. I could feed the village. I'm only doing one next year.
And what do you make with courgettes?
Sort of, I like a lot of courgette pasta. Uh-huh. I do lovely sliced and fried with a bit of parmesan on. Delicious.
How often are you out there? Do you have to keep squirrels away and like fight local?
No, I don't do any of that. They're just in sort of vegetable planters. Well, the tomatoes have done really, really well.
When did this start?
The courgettes only this year. I did the courgettes this year. Tomatoes have been going for 5-6 years.
How much of this are you putting on social media?
Yeah, a bit of it. Not enough.
No, I think not you enough. Could go full trad wife, Natalie.
And I've done all of the sauces. I had so many tomatoes. I've done all my own passatas. I've done chili. They're all away in the dark.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, shit.
And how long have you lived in the countryside for? Were you a city girl for a bit?
I was city. Yeah, I was brought up in Islington. So very, very London. And then I moved to Hertfordshire. But we're in the rural side now. You know, we overlook fields. It's beautiful. It's been for 6 years.
Well, this is very good.
6 years.
Fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh produce.
Lots of lovely walking in the country.
Do you have an animal?
No. Oh, we have 2 rabbits.
Okay.
It's awful that I say no.
I like that you said no. No.
I should get.
Yeah.
But they're pets. Bit of a hindrance. The kid, you know, the kids want a rabbit. They never look at the rabbit.
No, I know.
And I'm going to have to say Mark because he'll kill me. But okay. Yeah, Mark cleans them out and does everything.
Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Good. You do cardio. You do HIIT. You do yoga in your questionnaire.
No. This is stuff I have done. I'm not doing that all the time.
You're just familiar with these types of exercises?
Familiar with those things.
Okay.
Familiar. I've been so busy since leaving EastEnders, I have done nothing. Nothing. Apart from a walk with a friend or, you know, go out and have a nice walk. I need to get back into my exercise, Catherine.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing everything.
I rush about, though, all day. I'm rushing around all day long, up and downstairs.
But you know what? I think it's a really healthy kind of stress that you've got.
Yeah.
You are writing your own scripts now. You've got loads of support. All of these nieces, mixed ages. No wonder age means absolutely nothing to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Your brothers are 100 years old.
Yeah.
And then you got these babies hanging around. I don't really know the math on how there are babies. You got nieces that are your cousins. You've got a lot of people who love you. And you're able to make your own schedule now. And you're doing all these lovely natural things for yourself.
Yeah, it's good. It is very good.
What do you think your biological age result is going to be?
I reckon I'm a bit older.
Really? Based on what?
Just based on sort of, well, smoking. Years of smoking when I was younger.
Oh, no.
Drinking. Do you like a drink?
But when? Because you always had a job.
Just in the evening. Couple of glasses of wine, a few gin and tonics.
Nice. And smoking cigarettes.
I was smoking cigarettes, yeah.
For how many years?
Probably from about 13, I'd say, till 30.
That was the Islington way.
It was, yeah.
And smoking was cool back then.
It was, yeah.
So I think if your daughters look to you and they go, well, Mom, I'm vaping.
I know. I vape now.
You don't.
I do. Why is that
awful?
It's
not in the questionnaire. It's really bad.
I know.
How often are you vaping? Constantly.
No, not constantly. It's better.
Well, that's the trouble with the vape is you can kind of...
Oh, well, it's so easy, isn't it? It's like a dummy.
It is.
You can have it by the bed. It doesn't smell.
No.
So all of that is gone. You have to cut it out and start just cutting it out a bit. It can get too much, the vaping.
This is good. I knew that if we worked hard enough, we would scratch below the happy days surface and find a vice with you.
The vaping.
Vaping.
Yeah, it's awful.
What else?
But with that, I have to say, it angers me when I see people vaping that haven't smoked.
Oh.
It really angers me. Because I only do it, genuinely, I only did it to stop smoking.
Right.
Whereas people are just picking up these things and doing it for fun.
I know. I think the marketing is pretty aggressive.
Yeah,
and they want the kids on it.
Yeah.
All right. So vaping, any gambling?
No,
secret
no gambling.
Darkness?
No.
Violence?
No violence.
You're just a good person who vapes sometimes.
Who vapes sometimes.
Well, I mean, if that's it, I think we should bring out Dr. Nicola Conlon and find out how you did.
Okay. Let's have a look.
Nicola's made you nervous. What's going through your mind?
Just what is it going to be? Am I going to be 85?
What will you do if you are?
Well, if I'm 85?
How would you improve?
I have to get exercising more. So I haven't exercised for ages, like I said to you.
And you'd have to lose the vape?
I would have to lose the vape. That should be happening anyway. Mark's done it. Mark's packed it up like that. He's amazing. He's just done it.
What he's really doing out there, gardening.
That's true.
Smoking behind the courgettes.
Yeah, yeah.
These courgettes, they're wild. I gotta stay out here and mind the courgettes. We are now joined by Dr. Nicola Conlon, a very learned scientist.
Amazing.
This is a test performed by a company called GlycanAge. Very reliable way of calculating your biological age based on a number of factors that I do not understand.
Okay.
Natalie Cassidy, your result is 20 years old. 22 years younger than your chronological age.
That is wild.
Yeah, like one of the best results.
Now that is like the most wildest result. Thing I've ever... Are you sure it was mine?
Well, I hope it was. That was not my responsibility.
I think we've only seen this once before.
Yeah. This is as low as you can go, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So what it shows, like what we're measuring is inflammation in the body. So this specific marker of age is about any inflammation in the body. So to have a result like that is like you have the immune systems and levels of inflammation of a 20-year-old.
You're not vaping enough.
I'm going to get hammered tonight.
What could you see in all your little science markers, Nicola?
So first, one thing to mention is one thing that we sometimes see in some of the patterns of what we measure is if somebody is heading towards perimenopause. And mm-hmm. just because you mentioned it earlier,
yeah.
that there was no sign of that
really?
At all.
So I'm making stuff up.
Yeah, so no sign. Okay. So, yeah, there was definitely no sign as far as this was concerned. And looking at your questionnaire, I think probably one of the key reasons that you've got this result is because if you look at everything you're doing, it's very balanced. Mm. And what we often see is when people are either like really not doing anything or they're doing too much of a good thing, we kind of see the kind of opposites, I would think it's fair to say. Right. And the one thing I always say is about how the body likes balance. And I think you've touched upon it, talking about like you regret doing the workout videos and the fatty diets and things like that. And that's for a long time what we've all been kind of told, like if you want to get fit, you've got to go all in and do everything. Or if you want to diet, it's got to be an extreme. But your lifestyle, minus the vaping, we'll ignore that a little bit. It does sound like you really are. You're not doing too much exercise. You said you've had a bit of a break, but your diet's really wholesome and balanced. Mm. You seem to have the stress under control. You have the sleep. You're having the naps. It's like you're listening to your body and almost giving it what it kind of needs. Wow. So I think it's a perfect example of like actually how you can do really well without having to do something extreme.
Wow. Thank you so much. I'm blown away.
Are you taking any supplements?
I do take a few bits and pieces, yeah.
What do you take?
I take a bit of magnesium sometimes.
Mm-hmm,
I take, because my bones, I broke my, I don't know if I was straining when I was acting out giving birth.
What?
And I did it live for EastEnders Live. It was an episode and I had to give birth live. So there was a lot of nerves. And a couple of days before that, I went for it, really went for it. And my sternum popped out. Like, not out of the skin, but
oh, wow.
Like out. And I carried on with the rehearsal, carried it all on. And I went to the hospital and I'd fractured my sternum. And the guy said to me, have you checked your bones? Because that is mad. Like, that's a car accident.
Wow.
And you've done it to yourself.
You acted yourself a broken bone.
I did, yeah. So I take all the osteocare stuff because I am a little bit worried about the density, my bone density a little bit.
Or maybe you're just a very good actress.
I know.
You said to have bone density, I was on EastEnders for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. I could break my sternum in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
I could cry right now if you want.
I could burst into tears for you.
Wow. Do it. We'll use it as the trailer.
Natalie.
So you're taking things.
I do take a few bits. Yeah. And I like what Davinia Taylor. She's got like wheel powders and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's electrolytes. I take those sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And her collagen. Yeah. I work on my coffee, the fatty coffee, you know, like a creamer.
Yeah. Two things I did see on your supplement list that were like a big gold star for me were turmeric.
Yes.
And ginger.
Yeah, always.
And shots. I always say to people that like things like supplements, they're never going to outdo a bad lifestyle, but they are like the sort of cherry on the top. Mm-hmm. And turmeric and ginger are both very well known and have some really great research behind them as antioxidants and also anti-inflammatories. Mm-hmm. They seem to like turn down inflammation in the body. So I think, you know, those could be contributors, probably like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But they are really great for suppressing any inflammation.
Do you cook with them?
Yeah, ginger I do a lot.
Yes.
Why don't you have a cookbook?
Oh, well, I need to do one, don't I? I would like to do one.
I feel like...
I'll do the 101st for you soon.
I mean, my main takeaway is that you're this amazing cook. You grow fresh veg, whatever you're doing, like the whole holisticness of your lifestyle is getting
that
you the lowest...
That makes me sound like a fraud, honestly. I promise you, it's not like that.
It's not fraudulent.
I'm running around, I'm drinking wine. I'm going to bed too late sometimes.
But this is the balance, I think, that Nicola's talking about. And if we could find that balance and be able to WhatsApp the author, I think that would help a lot of people out.
Yeah. Well, no one can live the perfect life. You know, everyone thinks that if they're going to try and do something, it has to be perfect.
Mm.
And it's very difficult. Like, you know, we've all got families, we've got kids, running around trying to do a job. But it can be done. It doesn't have to be that. Taking it to extremes, it is.
Yeah,
it
just
is
as long as you're doing a little bit. I do that 80-20 rule, really.
Yeah,
it's that's very important. Really good. You know, you want to have a curry, go and have a curry.
Yeah.
Eat 15 poppadoms, knock yourself out, but you can't do it the next day.
Yeah. The next day, we're writing 50 ways to cook courgettes.
It's exactly what we're doing.
Good. Well, how do you feel? Do you have an accepted speech? I know you've won a lot of awards.
I mean, this is up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is better than the TV Quick Award in 2001.
I don't know about that. But it's pretty prestigious.
Is that all I get? I want to take it home. I want to frame it. I want to tell everybody.
I think you can take it home.
May I take it home?
Yeah.
This buys Mark at least another decade before pulling out a real wedding.
100%.
This just became a very scandalous relationship.
It's brilliant.
Thank you so much to Natalie Cassidy, both for joining me and for giving us some of her blood. Her autobiography, Happy Days, is available in hardback now, wherever you get your books. And she'll be doing a festive live show of her podcast, Live with Nat at Christmas, at the Clapham Grand on Sunday, the 7th of December. See you there.
A Rayo Original Podcast.